Yesterday we had read how Ramchal says that in order to find our to follow the right path, we would be wise to take his directions, because otherwise we can spend our lives running into dead ends and never finding the right path. And so he says, these are the advisors are the ones who have already achieved, they are the moshalim, the rulers, the ones who have already achieved a mastery over themselves. And what counsel, what advice do these wise men give to us? As the Talmud says in the verse that was quoted, Boyu cheshbein, come, let us make an accounting. Boyu unechashev cheshboine sheloilam, come, let us make an accounting of the world. Ki kvohem nisu, because they have already tested out. V'ro'u v'yodu, and they have seen and they know for certain. Shezeh levadai hu aderech amiti, that making this accounting and deliberating on one's actions as to whether it is going to contribute to the goal or deter from the goal, hu haderech amiti, that is the only true way, lahagia ha'odam el ha'toiv ashehu mevakesh, for a person to arrive at the ultimate good which one seeks, v'lo zulasa, and that there is no other method other than this. Kol l'shel dover, to summarize. Tzorech ha'odam liyez mizboinim b'sichle tomid, a person must constantly consider in his mind, b'chol zman, at any time, and especially u'bizman kavu alay b'izboididai, and especially during the time when he takes for reflection on his actions. Mahu aderech ha'amiti l'fichoy ka'atayra, what is the true way according to the ordinances of the Torah, she'ha'odim tzorech leilach boy, that the person should follow. Ve'achar kach, once he has decided this, yovar lehizboinen, then he can come to think al ma'asov, on all of his actions, imheim al derech hazayim loy, whether they are compatible with his path, whether they follow this path or not. Ki al yedei zavada shiro inoke le'toram milkol ro, uliyashe kol drochav. If he follows this method, then this way it will be simple for a person to purify himself from all evil and to adopt proper ways of living. As the posuk says in Mishlei, palis magel raglecha v'chol drochecha yukoinu. Consider the path of your feet, deliberate on which way you're going, and then all of your paths will be well established. The Omer, or another posuk that says, Nach b'sodrach drachenu, if we will examine our ways, v'nach koira, and investigate them, v'nashuva ad Hashem, then we return to Hashem. So the first chapter on watchfulness, he had talked about what are the components of watchfulness. And he came up with the conclusion there are two essential components. One is establishing the goal, and secondly, deliberating on all one's actions as to whether they contribute to that goal or not. Now, he goes on to the fourth perek, perek dalet, bebeir kinyan aziris, in clarifying the acquisition of watchfulness. In other words, he described what watchfulness consists of, but has not yet said why should one be watchful. Why should one choose a particular goal? Hine ma'ashe mevi'es ha'odam al derech klalav el ha'zahirus. In general, that which will bring a person to adopt this trait of watchfulness in one's life, he limud ha'Torah. Study of the Torah will make a person cognizant of the fact that he needs a goal and he needs a way to achieve it. That's why Rapinchas ben Yoel, who is the author of this portion of the Talmud, which enumerates the 10 steps, began by saying, Torah mivia ledezihirus. Torah leads to watchfulness. In other words, it's the study of the Torah that will help an individual realize that he should adopt this trait. Omnam al derech prat, if we go into a little further detail, in what way will Torah lead him to this trait? Hamevi lozeh, the way in which Torah will bring him to this, will be because ha-hisboinenus al-choymer ha-avoida shechayev ba-odom, that Torah will help him understand the serious nature, the demanding nature of the service of Hashem that a person is obligated to do, the oimek hadin alel, and the severity of the judgment which it involves, and that violation of the way of the Torah is fraught with harsh consequences. The yetzel is there, and a person will acquire understanding into all of this, min ha'iyun b'masim ha'ksuv b'sifrei ha'kodesh, if he will study and analyze the incidents that are written in the scriptures, u'min ha'limud b'mamorei chachamim zecheinu lebracha, and by studying the oral Torah, the sayings of the sages, ha'ma'irim ha'zeh, that awaken one and arouse one to this goal. V'hine yesh b'hisboinenus hazeh, this consideration that should lead an individual to wish to acquire watchfulness and to realize its importance. He'ores b'hadroga v'shleimei hadas v'labchusim hem u'l'chol ha'moin kula. There are various levels of concepts that some will apply to people of greater intelligence, greater wisdom, greater understanding. Some will apply to people of lesser understanding, and some will apply to the general laity who may not be in a position to achieve the highest level of understanding. L'shleimei adas, for those who are of the highest level of understanding. T'yelahem ha'horev, they will be aroused to watchfulness by the study of Torah. V'mashi yisborer lahem, because it will become clear to them from their study of Torah. Ki rak ha'shleimus hu ha'dovo she'yichomet mehem, that the only thing that is worthy of their desire is to achieve perfection, the leisulas, and there's nothing else. Now, that perfection should be the goal of life is something which not everybody will immediately grasp. People have other preferences. They have personal desires, family desires, physical desires, pride, whatever. There's many things that people will, that the average person might have as his top priority, other than all of my actions have to be directed toward achieving perfection. So perfection is not a goal that everybody will agree to. However, people of the highest category of intelligence will learn from Titan that perfection is the only goal that they should seek. V'she'ein ra godol, that there is nothing that could be worse mechesren hashlemus v'ahelchik memenu than lacking perfection and distancing oneself from perfection. And inasmuch as only perfection is Hashem, it becomes clear then that achieving perfection can only be achieving a unity with Hashem. And that the closer one identifies with Hashem, the more one participates in perfection. The further one gets away from Hashem, the more one loses perfection. And inasmuch as we've said that Torah and mitzvahs are the only vehicle whereby a finite human being can identify with Hashem, that becomes clear that Torah and mitzvahs are the only way to go. But the reason for Torah and mitzvahs is that this then allows the neshama to reunite with Hashem without any barriers. And again, he says this is not a concept that everybody will lock into, but people of highest intelligence will realize that there's really no other goal in life other than this. Ki hinei acha sheyisboel ze etzlam, because once this becomes clear, V'yizboi lahem kimoichen, and they also clearly see heyoisem tzoyim elov, that the methods to achieve this perfection are hamasim tovim v'hamidas tovis, are good deeds and good character traits. V'adayhu, then it's obvious and it's certain, shele yisratzu me'oilam, that they will never desire lahamid ve'elaham tzoyim elohokom mehem, to lessen these methods or to deal with them lightly. Understanding that this is their ultimate goal, they will do everything within their means, and it's just like someone whose prime goal is to acquire money, acquire wealth. Well, that individual will do whatever is necessary and whatever is possible, and if that's his ultimate goal, then he will not let things stand in its way. And if there will be two ways of doing something, one is an easier one and one is a more difficult one, his attitude is not likely to be which is the easier, and make his choice on the more convenient method, if the more convenient method is not going to result in achieving the gain that he wants. And so his attitude is clearly going to be, since his goal is to acquire wealth, that he will take the inconvenience and the discomfort in order to achieve his goal. Kikvan is bar, as some people of the highest intellect, for them it is clear, shenim tzoim elu yimatu lahem, that if they are lacking in performance of the means to achieve perfection, or even if they do them, but they do them with less intensity and in a lesser degree than could be done, and not with the entire strength that they should be done, they realize that to the degree that they are in any way derelict, quantitatively or qualitatively, in the methods to achieve perfection, then they will not achieve full perfection. But perfection will be diminished, commensurate with however lax they were in their efforts. And it'll come out then, that they will be lacking perfection. And if they understand, once they understand that perfection is the only goal in life, then this is for them a terrible occurrence and a great distress, and so they will avoid anything that diminishes perfection. When we talk about conveniences or inconveniences, clearly a question of standard. It's really impossible for an individual to ever choose a greater distress over a lesser distress. A person must always choose what is for him the lesser distress. Now, people who have subjected themselves to martyrdom and have given up their lives or have allowed themselves to be tortured rather than to violate whatever principle it is, they have chosen what is for them the lesser distress. Because for them, to live with a violation of whatever they believe in is a greater distress than losing their life or undergoing suffering. So the question is a completely subjective one as to what an individual sees as a lesser distress. Checking into a hotel for a night. There's one that's more expensive and one that's less expensive. A person does not want to lose money, wants to save money, right? What are the accommodations, right? If the accommodations at the lesser expensive one are so unpleasant, then one will spend the extra money because he, isn't it a greater distress to spend more money? Yes, right? But staying in an unpleasant accommodation is even a greater distress. So the choice is always what is for one lesser distress. Another person who's desire for money supersedes that then for his comfort of accommodations, will make the other choice. Now, both have chosen the lesser distress. So an individual who subjects himself to martyrdom has not chosen the greater distress. So he says that for people who achieve the awareness that the ultimate goal is perfection, anything that deters from perfection becomes a greater distress. It's like the halacha is that if it rains into the sikkim, and the rain is so severe that a person is distressed, right, he's allowed to go into the house and eat. Right? And so they say, look, if one of the tzaddikim was sitting in the sikkim while it was raining. So they mentioned to him that the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to sit in the sikkim while it's raining. He says, that isn't what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says that if it rains and you're in distress, right, you're permitted to go into the house. He says, for me, eating in the house on Sukkot is a greater distress than sitting in the rain. Right? It's totally subjective. He says, I'm not doing nothing to the Shulchan Aruch. This happens. He says, for me, it's a greater distress to be in the house, so I'm better off here. I feel more comfortable here. Wherever you feel more comfortable then, the miss is to sit in the sikkim.
Well, you're saying is you have to change your goals.
Right, you have to
change.
The
goal is, I want to go out to dinner, and it's Friday night, and I can't go out. Then I'm in distress. But when I realize I want to keep Shabbos, and that's more of a goal to me,
right,
that's it. But again, this whole idea of perfection, you don't expect to achieve perfection. It's the idea that you strive toward it.
And perfection is never achievable by human effort alone. Perfection is only achievable through Teva and Mitzvahs, and then the union with Hashem becomes a gift. A person may perform Teva and Mitzvahs to the extent where he could never achieve perfection of his own. He could achieve a closeness with Hashem, but may achieve a level of love for Hashem that Hashem will bring him closer to him, and given the perfection. So it can be achieved as a gift, but not purely by human efforts. Human efforts can only do so much. And we have to realize that in everything we need the help of Hashem for completion. And the Chacham says that La Balacham Lo Chalima, you can never finish the job you're supposed to do. And we also, with the doing, we have to realize that we need the help of Hashem in doing it. It's the story of the man with who began cleaning house for Pesach several weeks earlier, and just was meticulous in getting rid of every crumb of chametz possible. And the story is that he was in Chernobyl, and he didn't want to go to all Pesach to the Chernobyl because he heard that the Rebbe gives out Shiraim and he shares his food with the Hasidim, and he didn't want to eat of anybody else's food on Pesach, including the Rebbe's. So all Pesach he didn't go until the last day of Pesach. He figured the last day of Pesach is a rabbinic decree rather than biblical decree, so he will allow himself to go to the Rebbe. When he came into the Rebbe said, looked at him and he said, how come you've eaten the hummus on Pesach? And he was shocked, and he said, the well that you've been taking your water from, there's bread floating around there. Well, the guy ran home and found that it was so. He came to the Rebbe and he said, if you knew this about me, why did you let me violate Pesach all week? So the Rebbe says, I knew, how am I supposed to know? And he says, I don't have supernatural powers. He says, when you came in and I looked at your face, I saw what was written on your face. I knew what happened. He says, you didn't show your face to me. All Pesach I couldn't see. And he explained to him that the reason that he had this incident happen to him was that although he cleaned meticulously for Pesach, he had forgotten to ask Hashem's help in cleansing his home for Pesach. And he says, and you thought that you could do it solely by yourself with your human efforts. He says, a person can't do nothing by himself. A person, no matter how much effort he makes, must make an optimum, maximum effort, but must remember to ask for Hashem's help. Otherwise, nothing can be done. Alkain, therefore, la yivchava lahavis behem, therefore, people who realize that perfection is the ultimate goal and the only goal, they will make the choice to do as much as they can in achieving perfection, following the means to of Torah mitzvah. So lahachme b'chol t'nayim, and they will be most diligent in all of the details of the mitzvahs. V'lo yenucho v'lo yishketu, and they will not rest, they will not be at peace, Midoga bidova, because they will be worried. Pen yefsa mehemashi yagi oisem lashlem mishashpel apetzim. They will constantly be concerned, is it possible that I may not be doing it well, and they will take adequate precaution. And really all we want is that a person is to take adequate precaution with Torah mitzvahs as one would with any other, with anything else that was important to him as life itself. If a person were to find out that there is a procedure that could be done to save his life, and would give him a 50% rate of cure. Surgery will give him 50% rate. Now, if he has surgery plus radiation, that'll increase it to 65% survival. If he also has chemotherapy plus radiation, it'll go up to 90%. Now, even though that there may be some unpleasant effects in various types of treatments, clearly the person to whom life is important will do everything possible to increase his chances of survival, even undergoing some suffering. And it says, to the person to whom perfection is important, they will constantly be concerned about doing things that will bring them to perfection and will not be lax in any of it. Fortunate is a person who is always in a state of fear. I said, what do you mean, fortunate is a person? Fear is not a pleasant thing to have. You know, people run to the psychiatrist because of anxiety and panic. So the Gemara explains, so Perish Yuzal, not talking about anxiety and panic. Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv, that refers to a person who is always fearful that he has not completed the Torah mitzvahs to the degree that he could have. The ultimate of this character trait, he hanikras yiras chet, that is what we mean by fear of sin. Fear of sin does not mean fear of punishment, but chet means lack. And yiras chet means that he fears that he has not done everything possible to achieve the perfection that is his goal. That is the true yiras chet. Shehi min habishibocha shema madregas, that is of the most praiseworthy of a person's character traits. Shehi odam yorei tomi, that a person should always be concerned. Bedoyeg, and should worry. Pen yimtza biyoda eze shem etzcheit, that perhaps he might have even the slightest blemish of a sin. And this would shehi akveyu min ashremas ashur chai vishtal babur, that would deter him and be a barrier to the perfection that he seeks. And this is why the Chachamim have said, al derech hamoshel, using a metaphor, that in the world to come, melamed shekol echad nichva mechuposa shel chaveiro, that each individual will have a chupa, as it were, a covering, and according to the degree that a person has achieved perfection in this world, has tried to achieve perfection in this world, this is the kind of accommodations that he will have in the world to come. Therefore, each individual will feel himself singed. Interesting expression. He will feel himself singed by the fact that he has not achieved the status in the world to come that others have, that he has been lax in it. And ki enzem etam akina, this is not referring to envy. Asher tipel rak b'chas redaz, envy belongs to people who are senseless. K'mosh echtav b'smai, as I'll describe later, because envy is not a desirable trait. Elo, what he means, that each one will be singed by the chuppah of the other person, means elo mibne ra'oisei atzma choso min ha'shlemes madregi shahoy yochal ha'siga. If a person will see in the world to come that he has not achieved the degree of perfection that he could have achieved, as others have achieved, that will cause him that's what he means, each person will be singed by the chup of the other. Each person will realize that he could have achieved a greater degree of perfection that is suitable for him. Now, it's only the greater degree of perfection that is suitable for him. There's no expectation that a person will achieve something greater than his capacity. Behini al pi yizbeinin uzeh, according to this understanding, which is suitable for people of the highest intellect, vada shala yimna hasholem bedaita, a person who has a wholesomeness of thought process, will not avoid lihi yizor b'maisav, to be watchful in all his deeds. Continued. Continuing now on the topic of the motivation for cultivating the trait of watchfulness. And he said that motivation occurs at several levels. The highest level is the person who realizes that perfection of oneself is the goal in life. That is how a person achieves his identification with Hashem, and that these individuals recognize that mitzvahs, performance of mitzvahs, will bring them closer to Hashem and closer to perfection, whereas transgressing the word of Hashem will drive them away from Hashem and will set up barriers between themselves and Hashem and will result in lack of perfection. So he says this is the highest motivation to achieve perfection. However, not everybody is at that level, and not everybody can perceive that the goal of life is to achieve perfection. Achla p'chusim eile, people of lesser understanding who cannot achieve this motivation, tihiyah ha'hera l'fi havchanosom, their motivation will be according to their category, v'hu l'fi inyan ha'kovad asher hem misavim loy, taking to account the degree of honor that a person will ultimately receive in the world to come for having behaved and conducted oneself properly according to the word of Hashem. V'zeh, and this is because, kizeh poshet etul kol baldos, every faithful person understands, she'ein ha'madreges mischalkes po'olam ha'amiti she'olam ha'bo, that the categories that will occur in the world to come are not going to be distributed, elo l'fi ha'masim, only according to one's actions in this world. Inasmuch as this world is the place where we prepare ourselves for the world to come, very simply, just as if a person in physical earnings lazies around and does little or nothing, he cannot expect to achieve a great monetary reward, whereas a person who works diligently and makes puts in effort at work can expect to be paid according to his efforts. He says the same system works in the world to come. According to what a person has earned in this world, that will be his reward in the world to come. V'shelo yisroim mimsham, no one will be elevated in the world to come, ela mishehu rav mamasim mechaveri, other than one who has worked harder in this world at achieving good deeds. Vashahu ma'atam asim, a person of very few good deeds, hu yi ha'shafu, will be in a much more inferior position. In kein eifoi, since this is a principle of faith, eich yuchal o'odav l'halam einav mimasov, how will a sensible person look away from the nature of his behavior, or l'mayit hishtadlusa b'zeh, or minimize his efforts in achieving the ultimate reward, if he will only understand that there will come a time when it will be too late to do anything about it, and he'll have to accept the fruits of his meager labors. All the way back to the childhood little story of the little red hen. that whoever works at it is going to achieve at it. And it's something that we teach our children, and properly so. That there's no free lunch, and one should not anticipate getting something for nothing. The amount of effort you put in is going to determine what you will get. And when it comes time to receive the reward, the person who has whiled away his time in idleness may be very envious of the person who receives a handsome pay. And, well, why don't I get that? Well, you didn't work for it. That's why you don't get it. It says, well, a person who has faith in the system of ultimate reward for what a person has achieved in this world should realize that by being lax in the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, one is going to end up with a very lowly status in the world to come, and all the regret that may occur then is not going to accomplish one thing. The time to achieve is now, and whatever is not achieved is now will never be achieved. There are some foolish people that are simply out to make life more convenient for themselves and to get rid of every inconvenience or every discomfort that they can. And they will say, why should we exert ourselves in trying to establish, trying to achieve piety or depriving ourselves of physical pleasures? We'll be decent people. We're not going to go out and steal or plunder or kill or whatever. We'll be decent people. So we won't go to hell, right? And if you tell us that we're not going to get the ultimate rewards and we're not going to get ringside seats in Gan Eden, we're not going to get back seats, so what? So good, we'll sit in the bleacher. So we won't be in the uppermost level in Gan Eden. Big deal. As long as we won't go to Gehenna, as long as we won't be sent into eternal damnation, so we're going to lead reasonably decent lives. But as far as going for this watchfulness, piety, depriving ourselves, doing more mitzvah, spending time on the Torah, we won't do it. It's not my thing. I'd rather spend my free time having a good time. And if you tell me that I won't get the ultimate exclusive accommodations, so I won't. So we won't get a big share in Gan Eden, so we'll get a small share in Gan Eden. That's enough. We'll be satisfied. We will be happy with that. And we're not going to increase our burden in this world and make us things uncomfortable for us in this world in anticipation that we won't get the best reward in God's name. That's not that important for us. He says, so that attitude, Omnum Shel Achas Nishamam, I said, I would like to ask these people just one question. Hayuchal Kol Kachal Nikala Lizbob Oilamazer Hacholef, in this temporal world, which is a very transitory thing, are they as tolerant as they claim they will be then? Are they able to accept Liros Echad Mechavreim, to see one of their peers, Mechubadu Munosa, that is honorable, that is honored and respected and elevated, Yoiso Mehem, more than them, or Umoy Shalalem, or has a superior position to them? Because, again, if they cannot see any of their peers being in a superior position, and they can't tolerate them and they burn with envy, Echad me'avdehem, suppose someone who is inferior to them in this world, one of their servants, or min haniyim hanivzim lishvolim b'neim, or people who are considered by them to be the poor, the social outcast, whatever, the downtrodden. Right? If they saw that person suddenly being elevated, you know, a person has someone who hasn't had much respect for him, whatever, and that person wins a grand lottery, you know, wins $60 million. Right? He says, you mean to say you're going to tell me that you're not going to be envious? Come. You know very well that people are envious of people who have it better than them. You mean to say that you are telling me truthfully that it really doesn't bother you to see other people who have had the same opportunity as you had, and or even people who have had lesser opportunity than you, if you see them being much better off in whatever ways, you're going to tell me that you're totally free of envy? Difficult to see that people are so free of envy. Envy is one of the most widespread feelings, and about the only way that people successfully deal with envy is by saying sour grapes. I didn't want it anyway.
There's two different things that you're talking about. One is a situation in which you say someone wins the lottery. That's dumb luck. You can say, but if somebody works for something and gets it, you're talking about a very bad trait here, which we're trying to we should be getting rid of. The envy you're talking about is, you know, he's done it, maybe I can do it too. Not, I don't want him to have it because I don't have it.
Having a subordinate being promoted over you. That would be the kind of a thing.
But
that's not, here,
but
that's
here
not
you,
dumb luck. This is somebody else being shown recognition.
Well, that's it.
Over
but then,
you.
But then that happened because the person worked. No, you can be upset with yourself because you didn't work. Here you're going to know if this person is elevated, it's because this person did better than I did.
The tortoise and the hare thing. If you lie back and do nothing, and the other person makes the effort and gets ahead, you may think the entire time, hey, I'm relaxing, I've got it easy. When the other person comes to the finish line and you're still back there because you were lazy, there is a feeling of envy. Now, that the fact of envy in earthly things is a despicable trait, there's no question. We say that the laudable envy is when a person is envious of somebody who's achieved a greater spiritual level, and one wants to reach that level as well. But the fact of life is that people who say, well, I really don't want that much reward in Gan Eden because I'm a very tolerant person. It really never bothers me to see somebody surpass me. It is, be truthful with yourself. Are you just lying to yourself and denying the fact that it does bother you to see somebody surpass you? Human nature is quite that way. I recall that by myself. I was not at all pleased one time when two of us doctors were on the staff together. We joined at the same time, and the other person received a higher staff status than I did. Now, it so happened that he was board certified at that point, and I had not yet been board certified. But it really, I must admit that it bothered me that he had a senior staff position and I did not. So human nature is, I guess, what Lasata says. That anybody who says, well, that's not going to bother me, that's nothing but an empty rationalization. And he says the fact is that you are bothered by it. You're bothered by it in the in this physical world where values and rewards are really all transitory. I mean, how long can you be envious? You can be envious for, you know, if this occurs to you when you're age 30, you're going to be envious for 40, 50 years, right? There comes a time when that envy is going to be over. He says, so, Lloyd Vada, he says, it's really not true to say that a person can truthfully say that it doesn't bother him at all. Right? We can see it in everyday life. Call Amala Odom, that people work for and put their efforts in, Lehinose al kol misha yuchol, to try and advance themselves and promote themselves wherever they can. Velosi mikayme ben aromim yosah, and try to achieve a place among those people who are socially most highly respected and honored. Kihi kines ish mireyehu. Because that is the envy that one person has of another. Vim yire haverim israime behun ish yoshofo. And if he sees another person elevated and promoted and he remains behind, that what he is going to suffer, whom ashayukach lesavlo, is only that which he has to suffer that he has no control over, kila yuchalim noya, because there's nothing that he can do about it. Now, if he has been lax and the other person has been more diligent, and the other person gets promoted and he stays behind, yeah, he suffers with it. He suffers with it because he has no option. Ulevovo yisashish bekirboy, but internally, he broods. Meyate, if that's the case, if a person cannot accept without great distress being left behind in a world where everything is transitory, where there is no permanence, that the lowly status is just a superficial lowly status, and most of advancement is merely a vanity, and nevertheless it bothers them so much, how do they expect that they are going to be magnanimous and tolerant, how are they going to be able to take it in the world to come when they're going to see others promoted far beyond them, right? Others who in this world they considered beneath them. He says, think about how you would react if somebody beneath you were promoted over you and now became your supervisor, your boss, or whatever. And he says, if that bothers you in this world, what's it going to be like in the world to come where people who you think yourself better than, right, are going to be in a more superior position and more honored in Gan Eden? The Zabim Kaim Hamala Ho Amitis Vayok Ranitzchi, that is not in this ethereal, transitory world, but in the place of true quality and everlasting worth. Which we cannot appreciate and we cannot recognize it while we are alive in our physical selves. And that's why we don't pay as much attention to it as we should. But when it does finally come around, when payday does finally come and the reckoning comes, they will recognize the truth then, and it will be to their great embarrassment, to their great shame, to their great suffering. They will then be subject to an eternal suffering and something that they can't do anything about. Since this is true, this quote, tolerance, that they now say, well, it's not going to bother us, we'll be tolerant if others are surpass us. That this claim to tolerance, Asherim Dershim Atzmon, that they adopt in order, Lahokel Me'aleim Chayim Avoida, in order to rationalize why they are being lax in their behavior and in the service of Hashem, it is all Pitoy Koizev, it is nothing but a deceitful seduction. Shemefata Yitzram Oysam, this is only the work of the Eitz HaRa, who tries to seduce the individual, and this idea of his shouldn't bother you anyway, so you won't go to Gehenna, that'll be good enough. He said that it is nothing but a deceitful conduction, Veloy Dover Amiti Klal, and it has no truth within it at all. Ukvala Hayamokim Lepitas, this seduction would have no place, Lule Hayuroyim Amita Sa'inyan, if they saw the truth as it is. But because they don't seek the truth, and they're simply led by their passions to do whatever their heart desires, this seduction and this deceit that the Yetzer Hara has trapped them into is not going to be done away with until the time comes when no more can be done about it, when it will be too late. And then we'll look back and say, oh, am I ever sorry that I didn't do that. That they will not have the ability to correct that which they have ruined. It has been truly said the saddest words are if only. And how many people in the latter part of their lives, when they look at their past history, said, if only I had spent more time with my family. If only I had done this. If only I had do this. Well, no. When they're in that situation, whatever has been done already. There's no way they're going to correct it. And all you can left with is heartache and regret. This is why Shlomo HaMelech says in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds strength to do, do it now. Because there's no more accounting or knowledge or wisdom or capacity to do anything in the grave where you will be heading for. Behainu, meaning ki masha ein odam oise, acha koyach moso miodam meboira, that which a person fails to do, when he has the capacity to do it with the capacities and abilities that Hashem gives it, hu hakoyach habachiri, which is the ability to choose freely in his behavior, kol yemechayav, shehuva hem bachiri matzuva lasos, which during that phase, he has a freedom of choice, and he has been instructed on what to do. And if he neglects it at that point, he can never accomplish anything more once he goes to the grave, where he no longer has that ability to achieve anything. A person who did not have an abundance of good deeds during his lifetime, will never be able to do it again. There is a beautiful interpretation that when Joseph was sold by his brothers, he was put in a pit, and Reuben was not around at the time. And then when Reuben came back after they had sold Joseph and he saw that he was not there, he tore his garments in grief. And the way the pasuk reads, that Reuven saw ki ein Yosef baboil, that Yosef is not in the pit, vayikras begodav, he rent his garments. The word Yosef means to add on. That's what the original name came from, that Rachel said, I'm calling him Yosef in the hope that Hashem will add on, give me an additional child. So it says that Reuven came back and he looked at the pit, and he saw that there is nothing that will ever be added again once you go down to the pit. Once a person is in the grave, there is nothing more to be added once you're in the bar. The only time for achieving anything is now. He tore his garments over the grief of how time has been allowed to pass without achieving something. That actually is a frequent occurrence. We do things that we are tempted to do or even idle away our time, and momentarily when we realize it, we regret it. Hey, I could have spent the time doing something constructive and I wasted 3 hours, and what have I got to show for it? Nothing. And the only reason we don't eat our hearts out over that is because we have a system of rationalization. And we quickly let our minds wander away from that, and we pay no attention to it. Because if we would, we go on regretting and being distressed by what we did. But the principle, he says, is absolutely true. That if a person, Mishalachishiv Cheshben Masav, a person who has not taken an account of what he is doing, there will be no accountability that he can do then in the sense of making a reckoning as to what he should do now. He says once you get there after life, there's going to be no reckoning that you can make that's going to change things for you. At that point, it will be all past history. If a person is not wise enough in this world, lo yishakim bekever, is not going to become wise in the grave. V'zehu she'oma, and this is why Shlomo HaMelech said, ki ein ma'aseh v'chesh mevda'as chachma, there is no deed, nor account, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, v'she'ol asherat ha'olach shama, in the pit to which you are going, and the only time to do things is now. Therefore, the motivation of the second degree person who cannot see the ultimate in life as being perfection, that motivation should be, how am I going to react when the day of reckoning finally comes, and if I have not achieved enough? How am I going to be able to adjust myself to an eternity of regret? And hopefully a sensible person will allow that to motivate him to develop his proper character traits. To be continued.